Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 204 for November 19th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. If you have not had a chance to take a look at today's report and would like to follow along with us get your copy, just go to timingresearch.com/reports and you can get access to either the web or PDF versions there. I have Michael Filiguera back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him. And Michael, looks like you're on mute.
It keeps muting me. No, now you can hear me. Good.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Good morning if you're still on the West Coast, like I am. I hope that we have a very exciting show today for everybody. Who we have on today is Larry Gaines of Power Cycle Trading, John Hoagland of Top Step Trader, Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, and then myself. I'm Michael Filiguera. I'm with Logical Signals. How we'd like to start this morning is we're just going to go in a round robin, and we'll start again, Larry, then John, then Simon. Just give us a little bit of intro of who you are, where you're from, and anything else that you might want to add as an intro. And we'll start with Larry.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me here today. Thanks, Michael and David. I've got a site called PowerCycleTrading.com. So I've been actively trader for over 30 years, ran a large oil trading group for over 10 years. So been, you know, involved in the commodity side of things, the equity sides, but our primary focus at PowerCycle Trading is directional trading and then using, you know, options for risk management and for the leverage. So like to look at pretty much anything and everything, but specifically more so, you know, stocks and things like that. But we also like to look at the future as well. So like to trade price direction based on our trading model that we've developed, and then using various option strategies for trading those specific trades. So that's powercycletrading.com, and thanks for having me here.
Thank you. And John.
Well, and also thank you for having me with you guys today. I'm looking forward to having some fun and learning something today. So, but I started about 35 years ago, and in February it'll be 36 years the first time I walked on a trading floor in a job type fashion. I started like everybody does. You start as a runner, you work your way up, you find people that will help you learn how to trade, and so you know, I was an active trader on the trading floor for over 25 years. In about 2009, 2010, I decided that the opportunities on the floor were no longer plentiful enough, so I started to learn how to trade on screen, and that's when I met the folks at Top Step Trader, and I've been with them since about 2011. We have an evaluation system that we find traders that can kind of trade profitably within those rules, and we fund them. I talk to probably literally hundreds of traders every month, I try and help them use their strategies and tools to get them to profitability, so we can get them funded and they can start making some money as well as us. So again, very happy to be here.
And thank you very much. And Simon.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here again. Thanks, Michael and David. I'm just going to share my screen so you can see, read a little bit about me. Let me just see if I can share the right screen here. I think it's this one. You got the right screen?
Yes.
You're seeing this one.
There you go.
Three screens. Okay, good. Okay, so you can read that. I basically started trading. Well, I started graduated in 96, and straight out I was of university. I was worked for Credit Suisse in both London and New York, and then I moved kind of to the trading floor as well. And just to tell you a little bit about TradeSmart Forex, or TradeSmart, the website's TradeSmartForex.com. TradeSmart was gone, TradeSmart.com. So I use TradeSmartForex.com. But it's not primarily Forex or foreign exchange. We trade other things as well. Like I'm initially an equity trader. So what does TradeSmart do? We're a trading education business, and we focus primarily on teaching how to read the market professionally. And we focus on supply and demand, price direction, and trend analysis, pivot analysis. And in order to be able to run a successful trading business, and we also include in that how to develop your own trading plan and strategies which fit your personality and lifestyle. Again, you can't trade someone else's strategy or trading plan unless you make it your own first. So it has to be kind of tailor-made to you. and fit you so you can actually perform and do it in real time in the market. So that's primarily what we focus on. We have a live trading room and we run Sunday to Thursday. Sunday we prepare for the week like most professional traders do, and we actually go through and prepare before we trade every day, and we have a game, you know, a game plan, and we actually execute trades if there are any to do on a day-to-day basis. So anyone's free to join a trial in the trading room if you would like.
And thank you very much, Simon. And again, I'm Michael Filigera. I am the proprietor of LogicalSignals.com. My background is that I started as a market maker, an options market maker on the Pacific Exchange in 1979, and I've traded here in San Francisco. I have traded on the London Traded Options Market, so that's in your backyard there, Simon. And I've also traded on the European Options Exchange in Amsterdam. And I got my introduction to electronic trading via the DTB, which is the Deutsche Terminbörse, which is the German market, in the mid-90s, in the 1990s. I started to trade electronically. Came back to the U.S., went back down to the Pacific, actually, and continued to trade in a pit. But as what John realized, there came a time when the opportunities on a trading floor got outweighed by the opportunities that of people leaving the floor and things going more electronic. So I left the floor and went into electronic trading, and then realized that I'm really just a volatility trader, and started to shift over and get more interested in futures. And that's where I kind of am right now, is that I trade futures and, again, commodities. So I do trade crude oil, I do trade gold, I trade the treasury bonds, and then the equities, NASDAQ, Dow, and the S&P. And also have helped a ex-member of my own trade room, and now we're into a new trade room. And we're trying to really just build up and help the smaller trade. We want the traders that have that need to start with a smaller account. We're getting them into trading and learning how to become consistently profitable and trading with good risk management, et cetera, et cetera. But more about that later. We're going to use the same format. We'll go with Larry, John, and then Simon. And let's just kind of jump into this week's report. And how we start that, we ask the following. In which direction do you think the S&P 500 index will move from this coming Monday's open to Friday's close? So it's from November 19th to the 23rd. Also, we do have shortened trading sessions this week. And also, the markets are closed on Thursday. So, and then as you answer that first question, then please rate your confidence in your answers by estimating the probability that you have on that the market will actually close higher or lower. So again, starting with Larry.
Yeah, okay. So it's I would have a lot better probability of my answer if it was from today's close versus the open. So we're, you know, we opened up today around 27.33, I think it is. Let's see, take a look here. 1 second. Yeah. So, you know, we're opened up here. Here's the S&P right here. So we opened up about, 27.33. So right up in here. Now, you know, we're down to this key support level 618. We've already broken that on the NASDAQ. So, you know, I like to look at seasonality as well, and there's a really strong seasonality trend for the S&P, and that it and it starts pretty much right on about November the 20th. So, you know, today, tomorrow. So, and it continues into the first week of December, and for the last 15 years, that has been a winning trade. So, if you were to say buy the S&P on the 20th and then sell it on the 7th of December, based on seasonal studies and trends, that's been a winning trade for 15 years. So based on that, I would say the market's going to close higher. The only major negative is we opened at 27.33. So to have it close higher, I think that probability is probably less now than if we were, you know, basing that on the close today. So that being said, I still, you know, looking at seasonality for the Friday this week, I'd still say higher, maybe moderately higher. So, and that's purely based on seasonality and not the technicals. You can see here, the technicals are pretty much broken, but that's been such a strong seasonal trend. So okay. I'll stick with that.
And what kind of probability do you want to give that?
I'll give that about a 55%. So very low, you know, not too convicted about it, but just based on the seasonals, that's kind of where I am seeing the markets potentially.
Okay. Thank you very much. And John.
All right. Larry, I got to hand it to you. You're starting off kind of behind the eight ball with the downward motion this week.
That's for sure.
So far, you know, so I'm thinking the Santa rally may come early.
No, it's not a Santa rally. This is just a seasonal rally that tends to happen in November. So I guess you could say it's a Turkey Day rally, but it's just a seasonal trend. And then you'll see the same seasonal pattern towards the end of December. Purely right. Seasonal. It's nothing to do with, you know, you look at the charts now, it's, you know, they don't look good, but that's been such a strong seasonal trend. I'm going to see if it bears out. So I don't want to be too bearish right here. I mean, obviously this is a great intraday short and we can get some more follow through, but we'll see what happens tomorrow the next day. So
I think I'm learning something already. That's why I love being here. This is awesome. So I'm going to definitely be looking at that seasonal move. I think I agree with you, but you know, probably for different reasons. I mean, I never really look at fundamentals, but the fundamentals are, you know, there's a lot of ifs out there in the world with the tariffs and rates and all of that. But I'm always a perpetual bull. Ever since I stepped out of the pit where I was a perpetual bear, it's changed. So I just think that we're near our recent lows here. I see rejection in profiles at these levels. We traded basically right to the volume point of control from Thursday right here, and we're starting to put a little bit of a base down. We may continue to the downside, but I'm inclined to agree in volume and open interest in the things that I look at. That unless something earth shattering comes out, then I think we're probably going to resolve closer to the upside by the end of the week than to the downside. As far as a probability for that, I'm going 60%.
So 60% higher.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And Simon.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to go the opposite direction. And that's just based on, we'll go into more details, and that's the next question. But based on the technicals today and what I'm seeing in the charts, it looks like it's going to go down. Mm-hmm. And that's basically based on the weekly chart and the daily chart of today. I guess we're going to close probably down. But right. Again, it could hold this 2600 level and then turn around again and push back up. And I'll go into the reason why in the next question.
Okay.
And I'll put like a kind of 55% down.
Okay. It's going to be an even split here today, and I think that's really great. I am also calling it lower than today's open by Friday's close in the S&P. And again, as Simon alluded, I think in our next question and our next round, we'll be able to fill in any blanks as to why. And that's really basically a couple of reasons. I'm seeing a lot of downside pressure on both the Dow and on the NASDAQ. And so that spills over into the S&P. S&P, of course, but the one that's really jumping out at me right now is Amazon. And Amazon is usually going to be the leader in that seasonality move, which kind of can really begin tomorrow, Wednesday, but it really kicks in on Friday because now traders have that first look at, you know, Black Friday sales. And I think that's what can propel the market to that seasonality move, which may carry into the beginning of December. I'm not, you know, Amazon's down $80 now. So I'm still going to call it down lower, and I'm going to give it a 60%. So now that I have that, we get a chance to go back and fill in the blanks. And that would be basically, but I also have to say that the crowd forecast, so the people that responded, was 64% chance of higher. So we have two guys going along with them, and we have two that are basically saying, not so sure. I think we'll move on to our next question, which is, for our answer to question one, please share what specific reasons you think the S&P will be heading in the direction that we chose. And let me just put in a few of the comments that came in from respondents to this week's survey. And the higher respondent says gaps in the technical charts of the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ were filled last Thursday. Economic fundamentals should resume. The U.S. market should resume the uptrend. We also have watching the chart intuition. The market is ripe for a rebound. And then we have seasonality. That kind of goes with what we mentioned earlier. The holidays, one person probably said their gut. Another is that, again, with that seasonal tendency, Thanksgiving week is usually an up week. Lower respondents The COD are never right. They think they, someone thought that they passed the support level, which is now resistance. A trend has started. Most traders are off for the holiday week, which could benefit the market going up and not down, actually. And the market seems range bound, interest rate concerns, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the reasons given for the higher respondents are a little bit better and a little bit clearer than the ones who were picking lower. So we'll see, Simon, if you and I can maybe jump in there, maybe add some more technical things. But going back up, we're going to start with Larry. And Larry, if you just, besides what you've already stated, want to include anything else into that technical picture?
You know, the key that I'm looking at, you touched on a couple, you know, was Amazon. So I've been looking at for Amazon as kind of a sentiment leader as well, and plus Apple. So we'll see Apple, you know, these are getting attacked and hit today again pretty hard. But if they can find some support, that could also, you know, give some support to the markets going forward into the end of the week. So, you know, we look just right here at the SPY. Let's take a look at the S&P. This is a key support level, the 618 retracement level right here. So this is coming off of the prior, you know, high to low or low to high from this year and sitting right on that 618. So it's been kind of holding. We broke it last week and, you know, we broke it a couple times or came down to it last week and then rebounded and had a pretty nice looking close going into the Friday's close. But, you know, being stuck right below these major moving averages, the 200 and the cluster of these other moving averages. So it's kind of maybe potentially range bound until it can break back above this major 200-day moving average. So, but again, I'm just picking that potential for a move higher on the seasonality trend, which has been so strong. If you go back 15 years, the study goes back 15 years. And even when we've had, you know, the correction back in 2007, 2008, we seasonally still had that little uptrend. So we'll see if that kicks in. And so watching that 618 at 268 on the SPY, potential seasonality trend. And I think that also you've got the G20 meeting coming up November the 30th. That'll be a Friday and a Saturday next week. So you could start seeing some little tweets and stuff out there in front of that from potentially Trump trying to soften things up, you know, potentially saying, you know, he's not going to be such a hardliner. See if you can get some encouragement there, some optimism going in the market. So you could see things like that as start to pop out as well. So, you know, right now the technicals don't look that great, but the S&P is just kind of hanging here right at that 618. And those are some of the key things or tea leaves I'll be looking at.
Great. Good stuff. And John?
Well, I am not at my usual station here. I'm on just a little laptop right now. I'm just working from home, so I don't really have that much to show as far as charts are concerned. But there are a number of things that have kind of already been mentioned that have been on the back of my mind, and that is a lot of the technical weaknesses in the S&Ps that were left behind have been kind of rechecked. Okay, it's as if there was business left to be done down here, mm-hmm. and we've, I think, in large part taken care of it. I only see one little piece of in the profiles, if you will, that makes me a little bit nervous for the market just to kind of stay in its range. Okay, mm-hmm. the daily range. We've got mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 days, just kind of, you know, probing higher, probing lower, no real direction in those days. The thing that is left behind down below for me is there's a 2660. There's a kind of a naked point of control down there, and it's not a really prominent one, but it's one of those visuals that I think kind of attracts price. People are basically visual, and they just seem to go and recheck those levels. So if it happens early in the week, that would be all right with me, but I need this market to close above where it opened, because otherwise I'm going to be wrong. No, I think that there's enough bad news out there, and I think that the markets have actually held up very well with all of this going on. I think it's just a matter of time until the grind higher continues. You know, if it's not this week, well, maybe the next week. You know, just kind of taking care of some unfinished business down in this area, to me, is a good thing for upward movement in the future.
Agreed. I do agree with you on that point. And Simon?
Right, you can see the chart set.
Yes.
Okay, so if we look, we're going to go top down from the monthly chart down to the daily chart, and I'm going to show you what I'm seeing and explain what I think is likely to happen. So on the monthly chart, we're still in an uptrend, but the previous month in October, we had quite a fall, quite a drop down, which kind of took out quite a lot of months on the upside. This could end up being the top, but again, we're still in an uptrend and the trend's your friend, yeah? But this looks a bit less of a pullback and more potentially like a top to me. So again, that's kind of 50-50. It's still an uptrend, but we've got something that looks like it could potentially end up being a top. Okay, so let's take it down to the weekly chart. Weekly chart, this move down kind of broke this trend to the upside. And on this move down, we put in a lower low and we've got a lower high here. So I potentially expect now to go below this pivot if this structure is going to continue. If we don't and we stop over here and potentially turn around, then I'd say we may be going higher or maybe sideways.
Right. Okay.
Now, if we take it down to the daily chart, I'll just make this bigger so you can see what's going on here. So this move down went below this pivot here. Okay. There's a pivot there. We went down and we put in a lower low. And today we may put in a lower high. So, and what I look at price direction, again, without going into details of how to do that, it's likely going to change direction to the downside at the moment. So up to the, at the end of the day, which means we're likely to go below here and come back down to this level. And if we can't hold this level, then we're going down. And again, the uptrend is basically based on kind of this area. If we don't hold, say we go below 25.50 and close below there, then that would kind of violate the uptrend. We break the trend on the monthly chart. That would put us a bit more, you know, bearish on the bigger time frame. But that being said, we're still uptrending on the monthly chart. So it could potentially continue. And the way we would see that is if we come down to this level and hold this level and turn around again. So I think short term, we're probably going down. Maybe at the end of the week, we may turn there and go up again. But right. At the moment, I can only go with what's happening now and be on the short side today.
Very well said. Thank you so much. For me, I continue to stick with it. I do believe it'll be lower. Now, what could work against that is that what I'm seeing today, maybe a lot of the larger traders who are just like, okay, we're getting out or we're making our adjustments now, and then they're taking the balance of the week off. And as we know, it's a holiday week, two sessions. We have one where the markets are closed, and then Wednesday and Friday, to my understanding, I know Friday's already a shortened day, but I've heard that Wednesday is also a shortened day, which could really put a crimp in both sides. And we might end up just kind of being flat and right in the middle, which would kind of put us still below this morning's open. So I'm going to stick with that. I see the S&P could drop as low as 26.70 and still put in a decent bounce. Now, the pattern that this I'm using on an hourly chart, the pattern that I'm seeing coming off is not at all bullish. And so it sort of tells me that there's going to be some additional downside and we'll get a rally and then more downside. Now, how that all works out timing wise in terms of the market ending up higher on Friday or higher than 27.33, that's why we're only giving it a, you know, 50 to 55, and I went to 50% probabilities based on shortened hours for trading and less traders. Many traders are taking the balance of the week off. And I think after tomorrow, it'll get really very, very slow. And I'll tell you what they always say, at least they used to tell us as market makers on the floor. And John, I'm sure you know this one, never short a dull market.
Never sell a quiet market.
Never sell a dull market. That's great advice. Simple as it is good advice. But I'm going to be standing with Simon and in total agreement that our monthlies are still showing us that we have not broken the uptrend yet. So we're still in that uptrend. But as we start to move our markets lower into like a weekly or a daily and an hourly, it's broken the 200. It's broken a lot of different indicators would suggest that upside is in place for now, and we're in a little bit larger and a more major correction. And I think that is actually what is coming down the pike straight at us. How deep it gets this week, yet to be seen. But again, you know, right now the Dow's down 502 and the Nasdaq's down 230. So I would fully expect that within the next hour, they're gonna rally. They're gonna pull the plugs out and they're just gonna push as hard as they can to get this thing back up. Now, whether they're gonna be able to get the S&P back up 30 points or more, actually, it's actually more. 33 plus, that's close to 50 points. I don't know. That's a pretty tough cookie to crack. But I've seen it. We all have seen it happen. So you just don't don't know, but I'm going to stick with the downside. And I think that the markets are, even if I go to my hourly, they're getting a little bit too oversold. That could produce a bounce. Normally it will. Different firms have different resistance levels and different support levels. That can produce a bounce. And yeah, there's just a lot of factors out there. And so I think that we're evenly split, and rightfully so. Going on to our next question, and then we will take another round robin. But question four is, which trading platform or broker do you like the best for executing your trades? Maybe so we'll give the name, and maybe if you want to just put in a little back fill on that as to why. And we'll start with Larry.
Well, I really like TradeStation, and Thinkorswim. Love the platform with Thinkorswim. The option platform is great. I love the charts. I'm real comfortable. That's what I tend to use a lot. But also TradeStation's excellent as well. Good charts, good execution, the whole thing. So, you know, just between those, probably those would be the two tops. And, you know, I use Charles Schwab and, you know, some others. But just from a day-to-day standpoint, TradeStation does a tremendous job. And I love the platform for Thinkorswim.
Okay. And John?
Well, okay. Tops of Trader has its own trading platform, TS Trader. I do like to use that platform. I'm more of a market profile guy. So I have the market profile from CTS's T4, which is the one I basically kind of learned on for electronic trading. So I do like the way that they treat the market profiles on T4, but I also do like the TradeStation platform. I think the charting and the analysis on TradeStation is excellent. So those are my top three.
Great. Thank you very much. And Simon?
Well, I like Thinkorswim for charting. I think their charts are great, and they do everything I need. Mm-hmm. And I also use kind of MetaTrader for Forex trading.
You put your orders in through MetaTrading?
Yeah, yeah. But I use Thinkorswim almost for charting anything. That's my main. And the execution platforms, different platforms. I also use TradingStation as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. I am a Thinkorswim convert. I'm going to agree with what Larry has already put in with Thinkorswim, and also Simon, that it is a robust, deep, great platform. And being an options trader in my history, it has some of the best option analytics and getting quick answers to things before I put in a position. And I can really lay that position out and know what my risk is all before entering that buy it or sell it button. And I also use NinjaTrader. And I really like NinjaTrader, but the only thing I use on NinjaTrader is for futures. I find NinjaTrader to be fast. It gets my orders to the exchanges very quickly. So I'm sure part of it is my own connection, but part of it is just their lines as well. And it never freezes up on me. And it's held up very, very well during the past month and a half, where we have seen an explosive amount of volatility coming in and out of the market, along with volumes. And so I'm very happy with NinjaTrader for trading futures. And everything else, I use Thinkorswim for all my analytics, for my own charting, and just to go in and do analytics on particular trades. I really like that. I'm going to give us also now a quick chance to we'll do a round robin. And let's include in this one, if anybody has a particular trade idea that they'd like to share with today's crowd, that would be good. Or how people may want to use part of what you have on offer. So let's start again with Larry. Larry, just tell us where you are and what you want to maybe throw out there as a good trade.
Okay. Well, a couple things just looking at the sectors that have been holding up the best. They're not that, there are a lot of potentially good short ones, but a lot of those have already had a move. So I don't want to chase them right, here on a day where everything's down 2-4%. But a couple things to follow just from a safer type of trade setup is if you look at the, the healthcare area, Pfizer, looks pretty decent here, just from a kind of a stable trade, potentially trending higher. So you can see here, you know, it's starting to move back above these major moving averages. So when I'm looking at a long trade setup, I want to be focusing in on those particular stocks that are kind of moving above the moving averages for kind of trend to the upside. So this is one that looks pretty good. It looks pretty interesting here, Pfizer, and it's what we call kind of a volatility pattern where the markets have been compressed and it has potential for a bigger break to the upside. So that's probably my number one that I like is Pfizer. And, you know, it could be a pretty decent little grind higher. So that would be one. J&J is another one that's been great, but it's already had such a big move. But again, it's kind of in that healthcare area. So that's been one sector that's been holding up. So I like Pfizer. And if I was to throw another one out, it would be J&J. But I think, you know, it's already had such a big move, I wouldn't be chasing it right here. So probably Pfizer, and with the options, you can do a pretty defined risk, nice trade setup. So I do like that one. And as far as short trade setups, there have been so many, but you know, when you're chasing them down here with the momentum down, and if we do get a little short covering rally at any point in time, it's best to wait and let them retrace. And one that I'd like to reshort, we had a really great short for the last week and a half, was on Facebook, and on a rally on Facebook, I'd like to get back into that from a short trade setup. So from a long Pfizer, and again, there's just so many on the short side, but Facebook will be one to watch. And you know, you can see this is a downtrend channel, and we're coming into not a key support, but a very extended downtrend here to the 1272 extension on the Fibonacci levels here. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, I don't want to be selling at this bottom of the channel, but if we get a rally back up and it starts failing back up the top of the channel and the moving averages, I like to reset a short there.
Okay. I like all of that. And John. I know, right?
As for longer term trading, you know, I think that the stock market has given some really good opportunities for those of us that have a little cash on the side to start looking for bargains overall. That's kind of the way I've been kind of looking at this you know, when the talking heads on the TV are telling me that the world is coming to an end and that it's going to zero, that's when I like to kind of go in and look for bargains. You know, as for specific stocks, and I don't really, you know, need to go into that. I'm looking for more of stock index funds, those types of things is where I just recently put in some of the cash I have. I still have some on the side in case we get a little bit of a little bigger pullback. You know, as far as the S&Ps are concerned, as we've been kind of talking, is, you know, we had a 10% pullback. Okay, that 10% was 26.52 and a quarter in the right. in the minis, and that's one of the things that I was looking at. I took some cash and put some in, you know, in longer term investment at that point, but I'm also eyeballing 25.05, which is 15%, and you know, if it's going to get ugly below there, well, then I'll probably have my answer and I'll have to weather some storms. But I don't necessarily see that happening. Today, I thought there was a great trade in crude oil in the profiles. The market was kind of, it opened lower. It drove back into yesterday's range and value. And when it does that, it tells me that that's rejection at lower prices. So I've got a really nice trade on in crude oil right now. That's not going to help anybody moving forward. But as far as the bigger or the daytime frame opportunities, that's the one that I was looking for today, the one that I picked and the one that I'm in. You know, as far as the S&Ps are concerned, we just put in a new low and we've got a little bit of rejection at the bottom of this profile here. And, you know, I think it was you, Michael, who said, you know, this thing could turn around and go up 30 points. Well, I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen, but hey, we're already 10 points off the low.
Yeah.
So, and in the profile here, we cleaned up a little bit more business from last Thursday. And, you know, now it seems as though it is attempting to put in, you know, some sort of a bottom here, at least on the 30-minute chart. It's just looking like it's the auction to the downside has exhausted, at least for now. And if we don't bring in new business to the downside, I think we've got a whole boatload of shorts and short time frame in the S&Ps right now. And if they start to bail, they're going to drive this market back to the upside. Right. That's been kind of my expectation. I love, you know, on the 30-minute, I keep my charts very simple. I don't have a lot of stuff on it. There's a whole moving average with a 9-session parameter on it, and it has ceased going lower. And if we can get this 30-minute bar to close higher, it's going to start looking to the upside. And that's a little bit of a basis where I'll start to look for longs. And I like that because it keeps the trades short. I know, you know, relatively quickly and cheaply if I'm looking the wrong direction.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, real quick.
Yep. And that's all I look for in futures trades. If it's a cheap trade and it makes me nervous, I'm in it.
Okay. Good stuff. And Simon.
Hi. I was just thinking, actually, I don't know if you guys have been trading long enough to see when the plunge protection team kind of go on a rampage in the market and the market suddenly kind of explodes to the upside. You've probably seen that before. I've seen it a couple of times.
I like that. The plunge protection team.
The plunge protection team. It was meant to be, I think it was a secret trading floor of the government or something. I'm not sure exactly, but when there's a buy kind of operation that goes in place or program and things just suddenly jump up, that can happen in the stock market. I've seen it happen a couple of times already over the past kind of 14 years or whatever. You guys have probably seen it, yeah? So that could happen at any time if they so desire. So that's something to be aware of.
It can.
Yeah.
For me, I have carried two core positions for quite a long period of time, and I've told people about it as I moderate the shows. And my one core position is in gold, which I still have, and I'm continuing to build longs. I have been a gold bug for too many years, so I just kind of follow it pretty closely. And the other is that I've been short bonds, and that's the one. And I had a really beautiful short in bonds, but I had told myself that when the market slips below 140, so it's in a 139 handle and below, that I would start to peel off that position, which I have been doing. Now that the Fed is basically kind of put on pause in doing anything for the balance of the year, I think I have made a decision that I'm really going to work my bond position pretty much down to flat and then kind of wait and start the new year fresh and how things want to happen. So for those that kind of have been following me, I'm closing my bond short, and that's in the 30 year, and I'm continuing to hold my gold long. And I balance that out with the moves by using the futures. Excuse me, not the futures, the options that are on GLD in gold. And when I was in the bonds, it was TLT. Outside of that, I think that the best trade ideas that I can give people would be to trade futures and day trade. Now, I never thought that I really would kind of roll over and become a day trader, but I have. And the primary reason that I have is because the market does what the market does. And when you get into a volatile period, it's like they're printing money and giving it away. And I hate to kind of say it that way, but in all honesty, you know, you could be wrong on a trade when the volatility is this high and you just keep trading. And the next thing you know, you're making that back plus some. And if you're using good risk management, which I know John and I were actually talking earlier and discussing that exactly, that you don't step into anything. Don't step into anything unless you really have an entry and exit and where your stops are going to be. Stops are vitally important in trading, particularly if you're going to be day trading in futures, because they move. And the other thing in a futures market is we're not falling in love with the buy side. We're not falling in love with the sell side. We are falling in love with doing what the market is telling us to do at that particular moment. And these are hard things to sometimes wrap ourselves around and actually do, because the older or the longer that you've been trading, more times you've got habits that have kind of come along with you. And sometimes breaking those habits can be a little bit more difficult than others.
Michael,
yes.
Can I finish?
I'm sorry, Simon. I thought you were done. My apologies.
No, that was just one comment on the I was just looking for an entry to get in.
The plunge protection.
Exhibiting patience of a trader.
I'm sorry, Simon. My apologies.
No problem at all. No problem. I just wanted to show two ideas, and you actually mentioned gold, so I'm going to mention gold as well. And I also like that as a potential long opportunity. I like it on the weekly chart. It was nice down here at this level, 1,200, to start picking up some here. And we could see this going above this area to 1250 would be the next potential area of interest for this to go up to that area. If it breaks this, we could go even further. And another interesting one that I've been following, and no one's mentioned cryptocurrencies, but I was just at a conference in London last week, and it's very interesting, and we're speaking to a few people. Yeah, Bitcoin's going higher. And I'm like, no, it's going lower. So I've been watching this like since last year, I guess, and it's just been going down. But I want to show you something very interesting, and you guys will, anyone watching this will probably learn something from this from a technical perspective. This is kind of, watch this price action here. We're on a weekly chart, and this is why I said down, and we're going to break to the downside. Again, the odds of this one are probably over 90% that before. And again, anyone in my trading will know that we called this already 2 months ago. And I think I also mentioned it on a couple of months ago on the Timing Research Show as well, to watch Bitcoin. This is Bitcoin futures. And watch this. It goes up, comes down to this level. Goes up again, lower high. Can't go as high as this. Comes down, lower again, comes down, lower again, and finally breaks. Now, just imagine this analogy. You're in a room, and the ceiling's coming down, and the floor staying put. And every time you kind of jump up to try and get out, the ceiling comes lower. Which way are you going to get pushed out? You're going to get pushed down below the floor, and that's exactly what happened here last week. And it's continuing now, and there's nothing to stop it dropping, I mean, all the way down, potentially, unless it goes climactic, and then it will kind of bounce. And we've seen that even today, the price action today has been down. Yeah, it's been down. It went, kind of dropped and bounced back, but there's no real support for it anywhere. And I wouldn't be surprised if, we've been talking about it in the trading room. I mean, Bitcoin, it's still got a long way to drop down. I mean, look, it's like a quarter of what it was when the contract was released. A quarter. I mean, that's a massive drop. Anyway, just something of interest. So if you see this structure again, most of it doesn't mean all the time. When we look at, when we're trading, we trade probabilities. That doesn't mean it happens all the time. It means it's what happens the majority of times. If you see this scenario, you're going to be on the right side the majority of the time. And you can see the perfect play here actually broke to the downside. You can see it easily on the weekly chart. Anyway, that's what I wanted to add today, and something that you guys can potentially learn from.
Thank you very much. I like the gold. And Bitcoin, any of those cryptocurrencies are very interesting, but I have shied away from them for my own reasons. I can take enough risk and other things without having to add to the crypto. But I think, as Simon did point out, if you just follow it, get a good strategy, follow your strategy, I think there's money to be made there as well. What I'd like to do, we're kind of going to go again on a round robin. And now I want just to, we're going to reintroduce ourselves, and we're going to basically say how people can get a hold of you. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you? How can they get more information about what you do, and any other closing statements that you'd like to make? And we're going to start at the top with Larry.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for having me here today. You can find me. Let me get my site up here real quick. Hold on. Where did I put it? Here we go. Yeah. So come join us at powercycletrading.com. So you'll see here's the homepage here. And you can always check to see what we're doing as far as week to week. We've got upcoming live events or webinars here. So you can just always check in and come sign up, get our free toolkits, join our membership. We've got a, trading room. We've got all kinds of trading software that I've designed, and option courses, and just endless amount of great courses and indicators and softwares and videos, and just an enormous amount of great content, I think. And so come join us at powercycletrading.com, and you can click here and see what upcoming webinars. We've got one coming up again this Saturday about how to trade market volatility. And so it's a really good one, and you might learn a lot from that. So hopefully you'll sign up and join us at powercycletrading.com. And again, thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome, and thank you. And John.
All right. I'm going to see if I can't share my screen. How do I do this?
It should be under your tab.
It's the green button on the left side of the screen.
Ah,
that worked.
Okay. All right. Well, here's our website. This is the Top Step Trader website. We basically, anybody anywhere can become a futures trader. It used to be you'd have to be, live in Chicago or New York or on the West Coast, and to even get the opportunity. The barrier to entry has become so low, we're offering the opportunity to anybody. How it works, you prove you can profit, show you can manage risk, and then we'll end up backing you. We give you lots of tools and resources resources to help you along the way. There's trade reports. There's lots of video resources. I present a market forecast and recap every day. That's 8:15 a.m. Central Time for the forecast. The recap is at 2 o'clock Central Time. You can find me here in performance coaching. You can sign up and we can chat for 15 minutes about your trading. There I am here. So, or you can call this number here, 888-407-1611 for our support. You can find a way to reach me through there. And, it has been such a pleasure to get to know and see so many people improve their futures trading with us here at Top Step Trader. So, again, look me up at topsteptrader.com, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you.
And thank you very much, John. And Simon.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here again. Thanks, David, as well. And you can go to my website, tradesmartforex.com. And if you want to learn about building a profitable trading strategy in 15 minutes, that will take you through the nut and bolts of it. And also, I've left a webinar here, which I've done live market analysis. But on that webinar, one of my traders, Jane, comes on, and she went in her account from $10,000 to $50,000 in 6 months and continually makes around $10,000. She draws out her profits on a $50,000 account. But last month, she made over $16,000, and that's trading about 1 to 2 hours a day. And she has a job as well. And she's making more money now in her trading than she is in a day job. So go on that webinar, and you'll hear from her how she did it. And again, the webinar's still available. And there's an offer made on the webinar. But anyone who's kind of watching that, I may open up the offer again. It's basically doing the same training that she did, and includes in it a month free in our live trading room, which she actually did as well. And she did this training session, how to read the trend. She went over 50 times and internalized it and then put it into practice. And that turned her trading around. So again, I'm not saying it's going to work for everyone, but this is what she did, and it may work for you. So thank you again. It's great being here.
Thank you. That's really good stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
By the way, I got to say, I think it was, Larry, I think it was on yours, the foot almost stepping on the banana peel for options trade. Yeah, options education is like slipping on a banana peel. How appropriate is that?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
It is, actually. I really like it. Again, I'm Michael Filigera. I'm with Logical Signals. That's my own company. And so I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. And right now, I'm still paying a firm a lot of money to redo my website, and to just not there yet. But in the meantime, what I am doing is that I'm working with a prior member of my own trade room, and where we are now in her trade room, and we are essentially focusing on the little guy, the smaller trader, the trader that needs to kind of come in with $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. And we're helping them to get some good risk management skills down, position sizing down, order entry. So we have a lot of strategies that we employ, but we're day traders. And we're trading basically either the crude, the NASDAQ, the Dow, or the Russell. So those are the primary markets that we're focusing on right now. And the goal is basically to make per contract between $200 and $500. Now, with the volatility that's in the markets right now, we're also getting the ability that we're teaching people how do you want to play volatility, and how and what is the best strategies to use. And so far, it's working out pretty well. We're having a lot of success. A lot of the traders that are in the trade room are doing really well. Again, it's playing volatility. We are also, or actually, I should say, Candlelight Trading is also an affiliate with Top Step Trader. So having said that, if you happen to have started a combine, the Candlelight Trading Room would be a good place to come, because we're focusing on how do you want to trade and stay within the rules and the guidelines that have been set up by Top Step, and continue to be consistently profitable and earn a funded account. So putting that all together is kind of very interesting that with the people that we're on today, really worked out very well. I know that David's going to come on here in a minute, but I want to say thank you to Larry Gaines, and I want to say thank you to John Hoagland, and thank you to Simon Klein for your really great information today. And I'm actually very pleased that we're not slanted all in one direction or in the other direction, but we came in right in the middle. And I think that's perfect for this I really do, for this type of a program. Because they, as a trader, you get both views, you get both sides, instead of being pounded like, you got to be short, you got to be short. It's like, no, there is a good claim to continue to be long. But having said that, all that, thank you, David, for allowing me to come in and moderate again today. Time does fly, and I'm going to turn it back over to you to wrap us up, take it home.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good show, a good, good group of varying opinions on the markets here today. So just a reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube. I'm getting close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And once I pass the 1,000 mark, it'll help me get the show distributed to more people. So if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, be sure to do that, please. And you can also subscribe on your favorite podcast directory now, too. So, or go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or shows there. Analyze Your Trade was off last week. But we'll be back tomorrow, November 20th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I was in Vegas for the Traders Expo last week, and so I was able to meet or reconnect with a lot of good potential guests for the show. So expect a lot of new faces over the next few weeks. If you're interested in seeing who's on the schedule for future shows, you can always just go to timingresearch.com and click on the schedule link and see who's, that's my real-time schedule of future events. So just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, John Hoagland of TopStepTrader.com, Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, and Michael Filguera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Happy Thanksgiving.